Did Mother put you up to this line of questioning? I glance around, half expecting her to be in the room. Truthfully, I'm not sure if she's even still in the castle, but I can't be bothered enough to care either way. He shakes his head. I place a joint in my mouth and walk to the sitting area, bending over the coffee table to light the end on a candelabra, puffing a few times as I make my way back toward Michael and offer it to him. He stares at the burning paper, as though he doesn't trust it not to be poisoned. If I were to kill you, brother, I would make sure you knew it was coming. I nod at him. Take it, it will ease your conscience, at least for a while. He swallows, reaching out and gripping it between his fingers, bringing it to his lips and scrunching his face as the smoke cascades like a waterfall from his nose. Do you believe in God? He mutters, staring down at the hash. I place my hands in my pockets, tilting my head. I do. You hardly attend Mass. He peers at me from under his brows. There's a difference in beliefs and blind worship, Michael. One builds a sense of self, and the other strips it away. I move back to the sitting area, settling into the chaise lounge and leaning back. As I gaze at the ceiling, anticipation flies around my stomach like buzzing bees, opportunity staring me in the face. However, if you're speaking of life after death, I think there must be. How else could I see our father's ghost? I snap upright to a sitting position, slapping my hand over my mouth. Michael's eyes widen and he stomps around his desk, the joint burning in his fingers as he fumbles his way across the room, plopping in a chair across from me. Say that again. Shaking my head, I scoot back, running a hand through my hair. No, I don't know why I said that. Ignore me. Tristan, he leans in. Do you see our father? I rest my elbows on my knees, drawing down my brows and making my breathing stutter. I think I might be going crazy. Michael laughs, a light tinkling sound, one that bleeds with relief. Imbecile. It's when I'm sleeping mostly, I lie, raising my head to stare into Michael's eyes. He warns me of things to come. At first I thought they were just dreams, but lately. Michael nods, his eyes wild, their amber sheen hazy and unfocused. Lately? Lately the things he says, they've been coming true. I scoff, pushing myself to a stand. You must think I'm mad. Forget I said anything, please. I rush toward the door, but before I can even make it halfway across the room, I'm stopped by the sound of his voice. I see him too. This time, a smile does creep along my face. I find Sarah in the servants' kitchen, sitting at the small wood table, her head thrown back in laughter. My heart clenches at the sight. Simon, Paul, Timothy, and one of the ladies-in-waiting surround her, beaming as if she's the center of their world. My muscles tighten, a sick feeling swimming in my gut at the thought of other people getting to enjoy her, of them getting the pieces she only ever shows me.
Tristan!
Simon squeals, jumping up from his stool and racing over, grabbing onto my legs in a tight hug. Hello, little lion. My eyes scan across the table. What do we have here?
Just enjoying some tea, Your Highness, Sarah says. Care to join us?
Paul scrambles to a stand, rushing to the kettle sitting on top of one of the stove's burners.
Yes, yes, let me get you something. I'm not thirsty.
He pauses, dropping his arms to the side.
Oh.
I walk over, Simon hot on my heels, and take up the spot that Paul just vacated, my gaze never leaving my little doze. How's your uncle's hand? Her shoulders stiffen.
Just fine, thank you. How's His Majesty?
Depends on who you ask. I tilt my head.
Did you know Lady could fight?
Simon says to me as he plops down at my side. My blood heats as I trail my gaze along her body.
Can she?
Good to see your annoying habit of answering questions with questions extends to beyond just me,
she cuts in, grinning. Smirking, I turn my attention to Simon. Let me guess, she taught you to be valiant and brave, honorable and strong? Simon scrunches up his nose.
No, she said to drink water. I said to be water,
she laughs. She picks up her tea, bringing it to her lips. My eyes zone in on her throat as she swallows the liquid, my cock springing to life when I notice the tiny cut on her bottom lip. The memory of her flavor teases my taste buds, and I find it almost impossible to look away from the mark, aching to split it open again, just to hear her moan as I soothe her pain with my tongue.
Being honorable only works when both sides play by the rules.
She glances to Simon, leaning across the table.
Enemies never stick to the rules.
Simon nods, gazing at her with adoration, a look that, until this moment, I thought was reserved only for me. I don't blame him for falling under her spell when even I can't outrun it.
That's right,
I nod. The trick is, little lion, to be smarter, not stronger.
Oh,
Sarah answers instead, her lips lifting in the corner.
Is that the trick?
My fingers tap on the table, the tip of my thumb rubbing the underside of my father's ring. One of many I could show you. Her eyes flare, lips parting.
M'lady,
the young girl at her side interrupts.
Don't forget, we have an outing in less than an hour. Should we head back to get dressed?
Sarah's cheeks flush as she breaks our stare, smiling over at her.
I'm ready whenever you are, Ophelia.
She turns toward Timothy.
Are you ready? An outing?
Simon asks.
Can I come?
Paul walks back from the stove, placing a plate in front of Simon, his gaze briefly locking on Timothy's before turning away.
Simon, your mama will whoop you black and blue. You know you can't go into town.
His face drops.
I'm never allowed to go anywhere. Never?
Sarah grins down at him, cupping her hands over her mouth and whispering loudly.
One day I'll take you.
Paul and I share a look, but we say nothing. The royal bastard of Gloria Terra is the castle's best-kept secret. I don't tell her the reason he doesn't go anywhere is because no one can know he exists. That, whether we want to admit it or not, if word got out about a brown boy with the same striking eyes as the king, chaos would follow. Or how, if my brother simply acknowledged him, Simon would be the rightful heir to the throne.
Chapter 37. Sarah B. This has been my first official event, besides the ball, as the king's betrothed, and I've been instructed that there's certain decorum I'm expected to maintain. Do not stop and talk to people. Do not leave the guards. Do nothing other than smile and wave, cut the ribbon for the grand opening of the new medical centre, allow photos to be taken, and then straight back to the castle. And I do all of that. I follow the rules spectacularly. It isn't until later, Timothy and all three of my ladies surrounding me, that my good intentions turn to dust. Because there's a boy standing at the edge of the street, in torn and dirt-ridden clothes, his hair buzzed close to his head as he stares directly at me. There's something off about his face, although from this distance it's difficult to see. But either way, his gaze slams into the centre of my gut, and I'm turning before I can help myself. Timothy, I say, keeping my eyes on the child, do you see that boy? He moves to stand next to me, looking to where I point and nodding. Bring him here. No, Marisol cuts in and out, m'lady. My insides spit fire like a dragon, and I pull my shoulders back, walking over to her until we're nose to nose. You are not my master, and you do not get to tell me what I may or may not do. I've been very nice to you up to this point, Marisol. Don't make me show you how cruel I can be. M'lady, Ophelia steps next to us, What Marisol means is we need to tread carefully. That boy, he, well, he doesn't look like one of us. Shayna snaps her head to Ophelia at the same time as I do. And what does he look like, Ophelia? I hiss. Her cheeks blossom a deep red, and she turns her face toward the ground until the brim of her hat hides her eyes from my view.
He's deformed, one of the guards spits. It's easy to see from here. Most of them are. If not physically, then mentally.
I close my eyes to calm the raging storm brewing in my gut. Most of who are? He waves his arm toward the child.
The hyenas, of course. Rebels, whatever you want to call them.
He's most likely a trap, m'lady, Marisol adds, her eyes squinting as she stares at the boy. I'd like to speak with him. Nobody moves. And the longer they stand stagnant, the heavier the disappointment gets, like bricks being dropped in the center of my chest. My heart twists. How can they be so callous? Fine. I force a smile, my eyes meeting Shayna's. A small grin breaks across her face, her gaze sparkling with mischief. It reminds me of when we were girls, figuring out ways to break the rules so we could sneak out past our bedtime. She moves until she's standing between Timothy and me, allowing easier access for me to escape down the road. I spin, racing down the street, the material of my shoes rubbing the sides of my feet raw. M'lady!
Sarah!
Glancing behind me as I run, I laugh at Shayna trying to block their paths. She won't be successful for long, seconds at most, but it fuels me, allowing me to ignore the burn of my legs or the way my lungs ache for deeper breaths of air. Finally, I reach him. He hasn't moved this entire time, and as I kneel, my knees dusting along the dirt road, I admit to myself that maybe this wasn't the smartest choice. He looks to be in need, but it's odd for him to stand and stare the way he is, especially with the spectacle I just put on. Hi, I say, staring up at him. This close, I can confirm the guard was correct. He has a cleft lip, the center of his mouth missing. His dark eyes are big and round, and bones protrude from his skin. The injustice of it all makes me want to scream. It isn't fair that he stands here on a road lined with thriving businesses and groundbreaking technology, yet this is how he lives. And everyone ignores him, cringing away when they see him, assuming that because he's different, he's somehow less than. Anger bubbles like a cauldron deep in my chest, reigniting the fire that burned while I was in Silver, when my father and I used to sneak rations of food and any money we could find to the people. How I used to sneak money even after his death, stealing it from my uncle's safe and slipping it into Dahlia's hands. What's your name? I try again. The boy's gaze shifts behind me. A royal guard, he whispers. A grin pulls at his face, stretching from ear to ear, and it makes every single hair stand on end, a shiver racing through me. And then he runs. Wait, I yell, standing up.
Sarah!
Timothy's voice is loud, and the sound of it is so jarring, so different from what I'm used to, that I stop in place, my palm shooting to my chest as I spin around to meet his stare. I'm fine, Timothy. Everything is... A blast sounds, and my ears ring with a high-pitched noise, dulling everything around me. I curl in on myself, bending over as my hands fly to cover my ears. I glance up. Timothy's eyes are wide, his mouth dropped open as he stares at me, less than 2 feet away, his hand cupping his chest. All three of my ladies stand shell-shocked behind him, many people running outside to line the streets. Timothy falls to his knees. No! I cry out, my chest seizing as I rush forward, feet stumbling as tears burst from my eyes and streak down my face. No! I plead again, dropping to the ground in front of him. His eyes are frantic as they watch me break apart, my heart shattering, the sharp edges splicing through my middle until my insides spill onto the ground. My hands fly to his chest, my jaw tensing as I push down with my body, applying as much pressure as possible, digging my fingertips into the wound to try and plug the bleeding. But it's too much. It's too fast. His palm wraps around my wrist loosely, and it's enough to give me hope. Random curls fall from my updo, sticking to the wet trail of tears that stain my cheeks, and I whip my head around, looking at the dozens of people who stand by, their hands covering their mouths in horror, and do nothing. Dozens! Do something! I scream, all of them gawking as if they don't have feet and hands to help. Don't just stand there! My voice breaks, my breathing coming in small pants until I feel as though I'll suffocate from the lack of air. Hold on, Timothy! I focus on him, but his gaze is growing milky and I can feel his presence slipping away. You are not allowed to die, I demand, my teeth gritting. Do you hear me? We're supposed to become best friends. The corner of his mouth twitches, his blinks growing further apart. Long talks by the fire, you know? I hiccup, trying to ignore the way my fingers are slipping from all the blood. Your favourite thing to do. His hand falls from my wrist, splashing as it lands on the puddle growing beneath him. Please, I murmur, my mind screaming and my chest caving in. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. But it's too late. And no one hears my pleas. I feel the moment his soul leaves his body. A giant exhale. And then he's just gone. Sobs rack through me until my entire body shakes, and I collapse on top of him, my arms stained red and my fingers drenched. I drop my head in my hands anyway. I tried to tell you, Marisol whispers, wiping a tear from her cheek. It was you they were after. My stomach rolls, an icy chill skating through me until my entire body feels numb. I snap my face up and meet her gaze. Then I will make sure they pay. Chapter 38. Sarah B. The silk sheets are soft against my skin, the blanket heavy as it warms my body. But I'm numb to the comfort. I am sick. Timothy's blood has long since been washed away, yet somehow I feel as though I'll never be clean again. The sins of my decisions have always been heavy, but tonight they're crushing me beneath their weight. If only I had listened. If only I hadn't been so stuck in my ways, then maybe Timothy would still be here. He'd be living, breathing, existing. My eyes are puffy and swollen, the corners of my lids tender, but my tears dried long ago, drummed out by the pulsing beat of anger. The rebel king sent his people to kill me, but they missed, and now I will make him wish for death. No one has spoken to me since we arrived back through the castle gates. No additional guard has been sent to stand outside of my bedroom. No consoling touches or reassuring words. Not that I deserve them. My heart squeezes tight. I had thought maybe my uncle would show, but he's been a ghost along with everyone else. A low rumbling sound vibrates across the walls, but I don't turn to see. Not even when footsteps creep behind me and the mattress dips beneath a person's weight. I'm too drained to move, too broken to care.
Ma petite menteuse, what am I going to do with you?
Tristan's voice caresses my body like a kiss, creating a chasm in the center of my chest. I glance down when his tattooed arm encases my waist, pulling me flush against the hard planes of his body and hugging me tight. It's a simple act, but it pricks at the wound in my heart, the one I've bandaged and tried to pretend isn't there. A tear drips down my cheek, hot and salty, as it cascades over my lips and seeps into my mouth. My simple white cloth nightgown is the only barrier between us, and his fingers stroke over my stomach, petting me, comforting me, as if I deserve consoling. His breath whispers against the juncture of my neck, warm kisses peppered along my skin. They're tender and so different from everything I've known Tristan to be, but I welcome them all the same. In a world of people who don't see me, sometimes it feels as if he's the only one who does. Another tear escapes, dripping off my chin. His arm moves, hands pressing against my hips as he turns my body until I'm flat on my back, his green eyes sharp as he hovers, scanning the length of me.
"Are you hurt?"
he asks, his fingers coming up to wipe away the wet from my cheeks. I shake my head, a stuttered breath escaping from deep in my lungs, my heart splinting as it tries to break the icy hold my guilt has encased it in. He nods, his features relaxing. He strokes along the planes of my face, beneath my eyes, over the cupid's bow of my lips, down the bridge of my nose. Over and over, he repeats the motion, and slowly, the weight of my grief becomes a little less to bear, as if he's lifting it from me and keeping it for himself.
"Tell me what you need,"
he says. My chin quivers, and I turn my head to the side, not wanting to let him see me be so weak. His hand cups my jaw, turning my face back to his.
"Tell me what you need, Sarah, and I will give it to you."
I think about my answer, a thousand different emotions mixing in my gut, but the one closest to the surface wins.
Rage.
It presses against my skin, trying to burst through and spread through the entire city, obliterating everything in its path.
"I want you to find who did this," my voice cracks, "and I want them dead."
The words feel bitter on my tongue, but I don't take them back. His eyes flash and he leans down, pressing his forehead against mine. Our lips so close, we're breathing the same air.
"Done."
He says it with such conviction, such surety, that I don't doubt him for a moment. And the way he stares, as though he's diving into my soul and seeing every part, makes me feel like I could ask him for the world and he'd tear it to pieces just to fit it in my hands. Being so cared for breaks something apart in the center of my chest, like concrete boulders slamming against stone walls. Every single reason I've had for denying myself, for trying to keep him at arm's length, shatters with each swipe of his fingers. Maybe that makes me selfish. Maybe I don't deserve it. But in a world full of pain, he's my only respite. My fingers reach up to tangle in his hair. "Kiss me," I breathe. He does. Without question, with no hesitation, he drops, melding his lips to mine, his soft touch turning to a firm hold, keeping me together while my pieces break apart. My mouth opens wider as his tongue sinks inside and arousal curls its way around my body. It's heavier than usual, tinged with sorrow, but somehow despite that, maybe even because of it, everything feels like more. He groans when I suck on his bottom lip, his hips driving into the space between my legs until his thick cock is pressing against my center. My back arches, fingers tearing at his strands as I mould myself to his body, needing to get closer, to feel deeper. Maybe if I drown myself in him, I won't suffocate from the pain. His palm cups my breast, his fingers teasing the nipple through the thin fabric of my gown. He breaks his lips away from mine, moving to skim the corner of my jaw, and then farther down, latching onto my neck. His teeth nip the skin until it stings, making goosebumps sprout along every inch of my body. I moan, wetness dripping from my core and sticking to the inside of my legs, wishing he would touch me where I need him. He hesitates, pulling back and gazing into my eyes, and for a slight moment I worry that he'll change his mind. But with Tristan, I should know better. Another tear trickles down the length of my face, and I reach to wipe it away, but he grips my hand tight and then moves to grab the other, placing them above my head and tangling our fingers. He leans in, his lips moving from the base of my jaw to the corner of my mouth, his tongue swiping against my skin as he kisses the evidence of my pain away. "Sarah," he murmurs. Our lips meet again, and my desire ratchets higher, heat making my insides throb. I press my hips into his, wrapping my legs around his waist to pull him in deeper. He groans, the sound vibrating through my mouth and sinking into my bones, and I shudder from the feeling. It's intoxicating, seeing someone like him get lost in passion and knowing I'm the cause. His fingers tighten around mine and he presses our hands deeper into the pillows as he pulls back to gaze into my eyes. "You're mine." It isn't a question. I nod anyway, lifting so I can speak it into his lips. "Yours." Maybe I should feel embarrassed, weak, as if I need a man to claim me. But when he lets go of my hand and brings his down to the neckline of my gown, pulling until it tears, all I feel is power. And I'm desperate for him to fill me with it until I scream. Just like he promised.
Chapter 39, Tristan. One word and I'm feral. My hands grip and grope and grab, needing to feel with my fingertips that her perfect skin is unmarred. I'm enraged somebody thought to take matters into their own hands after I explicitly stated not to touch her. When Edward told me, a blinding fury overwhelmed me, but it was also mixed with a new emotion. Fear. There's only been one thing I've longed for in this world, and it's at my fingertips. The crown so close I can almost reach out and place it on my head. But now there's her, and everything else pales in comparison. There is nothing I wouldn't do to keep her by my side. She is everything. And if she's hurting, I will torture the people who caused it until they beg me to let them die. I cup one of her breasts in the palm of my hand, feeling her soft skin mold beneath my grip. Her nipples are hard, pebbling beneath the thin material of her torn nightgown, and my mouth waters, demanding that I lean down and have a taste for myself. So I do. "Tristan," she moans, her fingers tugging at the strands of my hair until the root stings. My teeth sink into her skin and she yelps, her hips lifting until she's pressed against my groin, making my cock jerk from the friction. I release her nipple with a pop and move off of her, smirking.
"Where are you going?" she complains. "Come back."
I ignore her pleas and walk to the nightstand, grabbing a thick candle off its base and heading back toward the bed. She's watching me, her forehead scrunched and her cheeks flushed red as she sprawls out against cream silk sheets, her black hair splayed wildly around her. My footsteps falter as I take her in, nude and aroused, her body high and sensitive from the roller coaster of emotions she's no doubt already gone through today. A lesser woman would have broken. Yet here she is, acknowledging her pain and letting it mold her instead. She's breathtaking. I want to fuck her until she breaks, breed her until my cum oozes from her pores and every person knows who it is she belongs to. I reach for her ankle, dragging her down to the edge of the bed, placing the candle on the ground next to my side. She shrieks, her long legs kicking at my chest, and I smirk, delight filling my veins that my smart-mouthed witch is still alive and well. My grasp tightens, and I tisk at her, fingers dancing along the front of her shin, over the top of her knee, and to the inside of her thigh. And then I pinch. Her eyes flutter and her mouth parts. I think you like pain with your pleasure, don't you, little doe? I tilt my head, trying to keep myself from pouncing on top of her and burying my face in her pussy. You don't know what I like, she bites back, her eyes flashing. I let out a soft laugh, my hand smoothing over the reddened area from where I smarted her skin. We both know you'll take whatever I give you, ma petite menteuse. Grabbing the hem of my shirt, I lift it over my head, the air hitting my skin and causing a slight chill. Or maybe that's her eyes, soaking up my body like it's water, flicking from the artwork detailed along my upper arms to where they cover the front of my chest. Together we rule, divided we fall. She mouths the phrase as she reads my tattoo, and it sends a shot straight to my dick, wanting to know what it would feel like if she spelled the words out with her tongue. I roll my tunic in my hands, folding it over. And when you're on the edge of oblivion. Her eyes close when I lay the fabric on top of them, my fingers slipping behind her curls to wrap it around her skull until she's blind. I bend until our lips brush, reaching down with my hand and grabbing the candle, a shot of desire flying through me when the flame grazes my skin. It's my name that will be screaming from those pretty little lips. I raise the candle above her forearm, tilting my hand until the melted wax trickles from where it pools beneath the flame, drizzling onto the perfect cream of her skin. Oh, she gasps. Her mouth parts as she jerks her arm back, but I grab her wrist, bringing it up to my mouth and blowing, watching as it hardens to a cast on her skin. Tristan, she whispers. Do you like how it feels? I ask, running my fingers through the cooling liquid. I know you do. I bet if I reached down right now, your perfect little snatch would be crying for me, begging for something to fill it, wouldn't it, filthy girl? Moving to the top of her arm now, I repeat the action, the white wax pouring onto her skin as my other hand slips from her collarbone, down the length of her torso, until I'm brushing against soft curls. Do you know how badly I've ached to touch you? I lean down, no longer able to resist the urge to have her taste in my mouth, and lave kisses along the middle of her belly, tilting the candle as I do, pouring a long line of paraffin to trace the places I've just marked with my lips. She moans, her back arching off the bed as her legs clench together, her thighs pressing my hand between them. I force them back apart, my fingers gripping her inner thigh. Keep them open. I want to see your pretty cunt as it swells and begs me to let it come. Her breathing falters, but her body relaxes, and her legs fall open wider than they were before. The sight of her pussy glistening and ripe makes my balls tighten and heat coil around my spine. She's surprisingly non-combative in this setting, and it pleases me. My hand slips from her thigh, running over the hardened wax and up to her throat, squeezing until I feel her heartbeat beneath my fingers. Such a good girl. She licks her lips, and I move the candle to her collarbone, watching her reaction as I dribble the hot liquid onto her skin, moving my hand so it creates lines of wax along her chest, over the pink of her nipples, and down the line of her stomach, pooling in her belly button. I blow out the candle and drop it on the floor. My hand on her neck tightens as I lift her by the throat until our lips graze. So quiet, little doe. What happened to that smart mouth of yours? Her tongue peeks out to swipe across her lips again, and I take the opportunity, sucking it into my mouth and groaning at her taste. I release her neck and push the blindfold from her face, desperate to have her eyes on me, to know I'm affecting her the same way she is me. Because she wrecks me, destroys me from the inside out. Her eyes are dark, swollen and puffy from her earlier tears, and I step back, enjoying the way her gaze heats my skin as I undo my slacks and step out of them, my cock springing free, hard and angry, drops of cum creating a string of wetness that drips from the tip. She watches me grip myself and stroke, and I love having her eyes on me. It turns me on, my head falling back from the sensation as I jerk off just for her. Because of her. Do you see what you've done? I rasp, stepping closer to the end of the bed. You've made me insane. I move onto the bed, spreading her legs wider as I crawl into the space between them. I can't eat. I can't sleep. I can't fucking breathe without thinking of you. Leaning down until our chests graze, I slap my cock against her swollen cunt, heat spiking through me when I can feel her nerves tense and pulse beneath my shaft. Do you deserve to come yet, ma petite menteuse? I ask, thrusting my hips so my length slides along her soaking folds. She moans, her breasts pressing into me as she arches. I always deserve to come, she smirks. My tongue traces along the seam of her lips, and I glance down, watching my dick slip along her pussy, my head engorged and purple as the skin pulls back with every forward thrust. I could tease you all night like this. Rising, my hands grip her thighs, spreading them wider. It's a thing of beauty, making you wanton and flushed beneath me. Tristan, she mules. Please. Are you a virgin, Sarah? My movements halt. Muscles tensing as pinpricks of pleasure skitter through the tops of my legs and up my abdomen. Another man has touched her. She's already told me as much. But I can't imagine she would come to the castle without her purity intact, knowing she was planning to bed the king. The thought of her with my brother is a serrated knife slicing through my middle, allowing jealousy to pour into the gaping wound like salt. Yes, she whispers. One word and my edges fray and snap, delirious with the need to be the one who claims her, unable to bear the thought of it being any other way. My hand squeezes my throbbing cock, and I slide it down her wet slit until it's pressing against her tight little hole. I lean forward again, my chest grazing hers and my mouth skimming against her ear. And if I were to take you? Her legs wrap around my hips, pressing me farther into her. Then I'm yours for the taking. Heat shoots through my core, and my muscles tense with restraint. I press in, the tips spreading apart her lips until they stretch around me, making my mind crazy with the need to thrust, to pump, to fuck. And tell me, ma petite menteuse, do you trust me? She hesitates, her eyes flaring with a dark emotion. No, she whispers. I smirk. Good. And then I slide inside of her, all the way to the hilt, my eyes rolling back as her tight cunt swallows me whole. There's resistance, but it breaks, and my self-discipline disintegrates when I picture her blood coating the length of my dick, proving she's mine and no one else's. The feeling of having her, after so long of trying to resist, is a drug. It flows through every vein and tantalizes every nerve, making warmth spread through my body until euphoria fills me. She cries out, her legs tightening around my waist, I run my hand along the top of her hair and over her cheek until I'm cupping her face. So fucking perfect. My chest pulls and my cock pulses against her walls, her tight virgin hole squeezing against me with every breath. I lean down and kiss her because I need to kiss her, want to feel her lips on mine and her breath against my mouth as I make her come apart around me. Her arms fly to my shoulders when I start a slow and steady rhythm, pulling almost all the way out before sliding back in, relishing in the way her body molds to mine, like the missing piece of a puzzle. "Are you okay?" I whisper against her mouth.
"You're right."
She sinks her teeth into my lip, biting down until skin breaks, my balls drawing up so tight a little cum leaks out.
"I like the pain."
I groan, throwing my head back. I'll be damned if this woman wasn't molded in the heavens and plucked from the sky just for me.
"Harder,"
she demands, her legs tightening around my waist. Heat collects at the base of my spine as I pull my cock out to the tip, glancing down to see her wetness coating along the shaft. I slam back in. She cries out, her fingernails digging into my back. I hiss at the sting and increase my pace, unable to hold back, an animalistic need blinding me to everything except the need to claim her. Sweat collects on my brow as I drive inside of her, over and over, from root to tip, her walls fluttering around me and squeezing tight.
"You try to be so difficult,"
I rasp, "but you're such a perfect, filthy girl when I'm breaking apart your cunt." Her eyes flare, mouth parting on a silent scream.
"Does it hurt?"
"Yes," she whispers. "Good." I rise up, my hands gripping beneath her legs as I lift them, spreading them apart so I can watch her swollen and abused center take my cock. The sight is incredibly erotic, and a sense of rightness spreads through my chest. Nothing has ever felt like this. Her walls flutter, and I drop her, chasing the high that only she can provide. My fingers slip to where she needs me most, rubbing until her head thrashes back and forth. She's close. I can feel it in the way her muscles tense, arousal dripping from her and making a mess of me. Lifting my hand, I bring it down on her swollen nerves, a sharp smack resounding through the air. She gasps, crying out as her legs tremble at my sides. My muscles tighten as pleasure threatens to consume me. "Such a filthy girl, drenching my dick like you're my whore." I do it again, sharp slaps that make her skin puffy and red, her inner walls milking me until my vision blurs. And then she explodes, the top half of her body flying from the bed, her arms and legs wrapping around me, her chest pressing against mine. My hands move to her hips, holding her to me as I thrust up into her, chasing my high as she shatters around me.
"Tristan!"
she cries. She bites the juncture of my neck, whimpering as she holds on. My balls tense, and for just a moment I consider coming inside of her. Everything in me screams to do it, to coat her walls, ensure that no one else can claim her as theirs. But a bit of logic floats in, knowing if she were to become pregnant before I ascend the throne, there would be nothing but death in her future. So at the last second, I push her back down onto the bed, slipping out of her with a pop, and I pull at my length, her wetness making my hand glide along the shaft effortlessly. Groaning, I throw my head back, my muscles seizing tight.
"Tell me you want it." "I want it."
There's no hesitation in her tone now.
"Beg for it,"
I demand. She moves from where she's lying, flipping around until she's on all fours, that perfect ass high in the air as she crawls toward me, until she's beneath my rigid length. She looks up at me from beneath her lashes, her hands gliding up the inside of my thighs. My abdomen clenches in pleasure, the coil winding tighter inside of me. It's an incredible sight, her slinking toward me like an animal, her virginity smeared along my cock as she prepares to beg me for my cum.
"Tristan,"
she whispers,
"please."
my muscles tense, my shaft jerking in my hand.
Paint it on my skin so everyone knows who I belong to.
And that's all it takes for me to explode, stars dotting my vision as my cock spurts shot after shot all over her face, dripping down her cheeks and splashing onto the swell of her breasts. My chest heaves and my ears ring from the blinding pleasure. I look down at her, my mouth parted, aftershocks vibrating through my veins. She smirks, her tongue peeking out to lick the cum from her lips, her fingers swiping through the mess on her collarbone and rubbing it into her skin.
"Yours," she purrs.
Reaching down, I smooth my hand over her face, my thumb pressing into the wetness on her cheek and smearing it before moving it to her mouth. She sucks, her tongue swirling around the tip of my finger, and my cock twitches again, something I've never felt before bursting like fireworks in my chest.
Chapter 40. Sarah B. By morning, he's gone. He has to be, of course. Nevertheless, my heart aches as though it's been abandoned. Holding on to my virginity was never something I did because it was expected. I don't prescribe to the belief that it's a gift to be given. I've just never found someone who I cared to experience it with. It's vulnerable, intimate. And while I've fooled around with boys in the past, there has been no one I've considered my equal. Until him. A sharp knock raps on the door, and I stretch beneath the covers, my insides twinging in pain. Before I can say a word, it swings open, all three of my ladies waltzing in, as if privacy is something I don't deserve. Marisol heads straight to the large windows on the far side of my room and whips open the heavy curtains, allowing the dim light from the gloomy Saxon skies to pour into the space. "Rise and shine," Shayna sing-songs as she moves past me, her eyes as bright as her blonde hair. Frowning, I move to sit up on the bed, the sharp ache between my legs cutting through me like a sword, making me gasp from the feeling. Ophelia clears her throat and moves toward me until she's pressed against the edge of the mattress. "Milady," she whispers, her eyes glancing to Marisol's back and then to me again. "Are you all right?" I tilt my head, assuming she means from everything that's happened in the past 24 hours. The truth is, I'm not all right. The sticky fingers of grief don't let go easily. But I won't show it to everyone. Showing emotion is weak, and I cannot afford to look weak, especially now. "Of course I am, Ophelia." I smile at her. She leans closer, her brows drawing in. "There's blood on your sheets." Her voice is quiet, as though she's trying to keep from letting the others hear. Embarrassment slams into me, and I glance down, realizing the blankets have slipped, specks of red dotting the fabric, surrounded by crumbled, hardened wax. My cheeks flush, and my fingers grapple for the comforter, pulling it over the mess as I clear my throat. "Thank you, Ophelia." She grins and tips her head. "What is it we're doing today?" I ask, trying to remain calm, even though my heart is beating out of my chest. Stupid to fall asleep like this. Marisol spins around, her eyes narrowing on me. "Your uncle and His Majesty wish to dine with you." Her words are sharp, and they sting as they whip across my face. I'm not sure if it's from the tone of her voice, or the thought of having to put on an act with the king when I've just been stripped of my innocence by his brother. But either way, it smarts. She slaps her hands together and walks my way. My insides tighten and I grip the comforter higher up, realizing that I'm naked beneath the sheets. "Get out of bed, m'lady, so we can get you dressed and ready." Ophelia moves over to Marisol and links their arms together, pulling her to the washroom. "We'll draw you a bath. I'm sure you could use the relaxation after yesterday." The reminder of yesterday twists my chest, but I smile, grateful that she seems to be in my corner. Once they disappear, I blow out a slow exhale, turning to find Shayna smirking at me from the other side of the room, a robe in one hand, the other on her hip. "Don't look at me that way, Shayna. Get over here and help me," I hiss. She lets out a small laugh before walking over and holding it out to me. "Marisol must be blind as a bat," she chides. "Your hair is an absolute rat's nest, and you're clearly not wearing any clothes." Her eyes sparkle. Scoffing, I grab the silk robe from her hands, shielding myself as best as possible when I toss off the comforter and stand to slip it on. My muscles groan in protest, and again a sharp stab careens through my center, making me jolt from the pain. I like the way it feels. Strangely, the ache is a comfort, a reminder that Tristan cares, that out of everyone in my life, Shayna and my uncle included, he's the only one who showed up and held me through the night, who distracted my mind and let me break in his arms, giving me his strength when he knew I had none. "Quiet," I snap, although I can't keep the grin from curling in the corners of my mouth. She giggles.
"Well, at least wipe the freshly fucked look off your face,"
I gasp, shoving at her shoulder, allowing the smile to break free.
"Watch your mouth, Shayna. Lord, what happened to my friend? I've never heard you speak so crude."
Tying the sash of the robe together, I glance around, cringing when I see the bed is in such disarray.
"Don't worry," she says, "I'll take care of it."
Sighing in relief, the tension eases from my shoulders and I reach out, grasping her forearm in my hand.
"Can we spend some time this evening? Just the two of us?"
Hope blossoms in my chest, wanting to feel some sense of normalcy, knowing I've had none since before coming to Saxham and embarking on this long, torturous journey. Her eyes shutter and she glances away.
"Of course."
My chest twists, the smile dropping from my face at her lack of enthusiasm.
"If you're busy..."
"For you, m'lady, never,"
she grins, squeezing my arm.
"Your bath is probably ready."
Unease sifts through the air and settles on me like a blanket as I watch her move to my bed and strip the sheets. And the feeling stays through the rest of the morning, as my corset is cinched tight, my hair scrunched and pinned, and fresh rouge put on my cheeks. The only thing that distracts me is when we're actually on our way to the dining hall and we run into Paul. My heart stutters at the sight of him.
"Paul."
I stumble to a stop in the middle of the dimly lit hall. Marisol, who decided it was her responsibility to escort me here, jerks to a halt behind me.
"M'lady," she says, "we don't have..."
I spin on her, my eyes narrowing and jaw clenching.
"Marisol, the dining room is right there."
I point to the doors at the end of the hall.
"You've been an excellent guard dog, and I appreciate you leading me here, but you're dismissed."
A slight grin tips the corner of Paul's face, although it's easy to see the sorrow that fills his eyes.
"Now," I hiss when she doesn't move.
She huffs.
"You can't be alone with a man in the hallway, m'lady. It's untoward. Let me worry about that."
I step into her and she stiffens her shoulders.
"I'm tired of you always putting up a fight. I can tell that being in charge is important to you. And while I respect that, I'm kindly reminding you that you will never be in charge of me."
Her lips thin, but she bends into a curtsy before traipsing down the hall, most likely to tattle on me like I'm a child. I spin back around to give Paul my attention, my chest pulling tight when I take in the deep frown lines marring his face.
"Paul, there's..."
He shakes his head, nose scrunching as he glances down.
"They're not even going to have a proper burial for him."
He grits his teeth, his eyes flashing.
"Can you believe that?"
"What?"
My hand flies to my chest.
"They have to. They... He's a royal guard."
Water lines his lower lids, and my chest cracks as I step closer, grabbing his hands in mine and squeezing.
"Paul."
Emotion clogs my throat.
"I'm so sorry. It was my fault, and I...
No worries, m'lady.
He breaks one of his hands away and tips my chin.
He died doing what he wanted to do.
I huff out a disbelieving breath, rolling my eyes to stem the tears. What? Being a martyr? He smiles.
Protecting you.
My stomach cramps, and I inhale, my face scrunching from how heavy those words hit.
You know, he whispers, his grip tightening on my fingers, I'm not sure who's worse, the people who killed him, or the ones who won't honor his memory.
He hesitates, dropping my other hand to wipe away a stray tear that drips down his cheek.
At least the rebels take care of their own.
My nerve endings stand to attention, and I tilt my head. How do you know that? Paul jerks back, running a hand through his auburn hair, avoiding my eyes.
Sarah?
The deep voice cuts through the tension, and I glance over to see Uncle Rafe standing in the hallway, one hand in his pocket as he leans on his cane. I smile.
Uncle, I was just on my way to see you.
M'lady? Paul mutters, rushing down the hall. He doesn't turn and give proper notice to my uncle, and the slight doesn't go missed, Rafe glaring at Paul's back as he retreats down the hall.
Were you planning on keeping the king waiting all night? He asks.
My insides roll with disgust, but I push on, knowing that now more than ever, it's important I tread carefully.
If he knew what I was doing last night, I'm not sure how he would react.
At best, he'd call me a traitor and disown me from the family.
At worst, I'm not even sure.
Anxiety swirls in my gut as I make my way over to him, afraid that when I get too close, he'll smell Tristan on my skin, notice the difference in my walk, or the new cadence of my heart, screaming that a far sir prince owns me, body and soul. I ache to find him. Even now, and the guilt from that notches its way up my throat until it swells. When I reach him, I wait. Although for what, I'm not sure. Maybe realization that someone tried to end my life just the day before. Maybe acknowledgement that I'm not okay. It never comes. And when we walk into the dining hall, and he escorts me all the way down the long table with no less than 20 seats, ornate crystal chandeliers sparkling from above us, I just feel hollow. Michael sits at the head of the table, dressed in expensive evening wear and a smile on his face, and disgust rolls through my centre, the strongest it's ever been.
Lady Beatrice, you're looking lovely,
Michael says as a servant pulls out my chair, allowing me to sit. I glance back and smile, thanking them, and my